It's so good to be here, and it was lovely when Andy and Diane Taylor and Linda came up to Manchester, that was a long way, and came to see us at our Miracle headquarters, The Fuse. We as a charity were praying for a new headquarters. We were with Andy Hawthorne, and Bigsy will know Andy Hawthorne, he leads a national charity called The Message Trust. And we had our offices with Andy, but we'd outgrown them. So we got all the intercessors together and prophetic words were released. Oh, you're going to get a building many times bigger than you think you need. It's going to be glass fronted. This dreaming vicar rang me up and he said, oh, Deborah, I've had a dream and you show me around this building. And I said to you, how did you get this building? And you said to me, God gave it us for free. So these prophetic things, and we were going to get this building, and we were praying. And how many of you know you've got to press in to God when you have a prophetic word? A lot of it is to do with our response. Anyway, I got a call from, it's going to sound a bit grand, I got a call from national government, from the Home Office. Deborah, we've heard about what you're doing, reducing crime, working with the police, reducing antisocial behaviour. We've got a building, it's come available. It was built in 2011, state-of-the-art youth and community centre, and it's closed down and gone into liquidation, and we'd like to get it reopened. And it's got to be used for community use, and we're thinking to ourselves, who do we know who kind of is doing some good work with communities and reducing crime and, you know, bringing people together? Oh, we thought of you, Deborah, and I went to see it, walked through the door. It was called The Fuse. It had a logo that wasn't invented by us, but the logo was the exact same colour as our Rock logo. Our Redeeming Our Communities is my charity, and the logo on the building that we were going to be given was the same colour scheme. And I said to the Lord as I was walking in, it's all very well, this building, it's way too big. It's like huge. But I haven't got any money, even if I was to move in here, I haven't got any money for the fixtures and fittings. And the Lord said, well, just walk through the door. All the fixtures and fittings were already in there. And we were given that building on a 22-year rent-free lease. We've been in there for 8 years now. So come and see us in Manchester. But Redeeming Our Communities, 18 years old, Rock. And we've got about 350 projects across the UK, and we do community transformation in partnership with the local church. That's it in a nutshell, responding to community needs like crime and loneliness and isolation. So that's our charity. And just before I start to preach, we've got some resources. Frank is here. Wave to us, Frank, my hubby. We led a church together in Manchester for 25 years, so we know what it is to lead church, and not just to lead, parachurch stuff. We know what it is to lead a church as well. So some books that we have with us, Mountain Moving Prayer. You're going to hear me say the word prayer a lot, because a lot of transformation stuff, how many of us know, it comes from prayer. You know, it comes from what God is saying to us through prayer. So Mountain Moving Prayer is a book that I wrote a couple of years ago. Some of you got hold of it at the prophetic conference yesterday. How good was that? When God was really speaking to us yesterday. But special offer, if you buy Mountain Moving Prayer today, and we have got a card machine, if you want to pay by card, you can get City Changing Prayer for free. Ooh, special offer. So that was a book that Frank and I wrote based on how we saw churches being brought together, unity, and how that gave birth to transformation in the city of Manchester. If it can happen in Manchester, it can happen here. We have 500 churches of different denominations and streams praying together. With Mountain Moving Prayer, we have a prayer course, which is a small study guide. So that might be useful for your small groups. get hold of that one. We also have written a book for Spring Harvest last year called Serve, the Core Ministry of the Body of Christ, which is also a study guide for book six stories based on Nehemiah. And we get hold of that one. That might really help galvanise all the transformation stuff that you're working towards for Basingstoke. So there's that one. And then we've got Rock Your World, which is for redeeming our communities. We call it Rock. We call our charity Rock. And this is a book, Rock Your World, which gives stories from across the UK of how to practically do social transformation. And it's got really cool QR codes in there that you can use your smartphone and download videos and stories and interviews and all sorts of things. So that one, that's on special offer as well. And the final offer, Linda mentioned our conference. We do a national conference every year, Rock Conference. Last year we did Go Higher. Linda came and we were talking about the high places and the way that God speaks to people through the high places in Scripture. This year we're going for Go Deeper. Next year is probably going to be Go Wider. I don't know. It's going to run out in the end. But Go Deeper. It's in Staffordshire. My son Josh, who works for 24/7 Prayer Youth, is going to be speaking with myself. We've got Noel Robinson and Lou Fellingham leading worship. It's going to be awesome. If you book for this conference, you can have two books for free. And Frank will give you a hug. So that's how about that for a special offer. So, Father, we just pray that you speak to us through your word and we tune in to the prophetic voice as though we're prophetic that we've already heard this morning and more things that you want to do in and through this church to bless Basingstoke and beyond in Jesus' name. Amen. So I might weave in and out a little bit. I've already changed my message when I was in the prayer meeting upstairs. So scrap everything and start again. I might weave in and out a bit. But what I really want to speak to you about is prayer. Because all the thing, and you've heard hundreds of sermons on prayer probably, but all the things that have happened in our ministry and in our personal lives of being a mum, a dad, parent of four children who are now grown up, two girls, two boys, grandparents of seven, everything that we've seen going on in our lives and in our ministry, leading a church, has all really been fueled by prayer. The times when we've been in trouble, we've needed to pray. The times where everything has been great, going really well, we've needed to pray. The times where we want to fulfill the vision that God's called for our lives, we've needed to pray. And prayer has been like a breath. It's a thing that we just live and breathe. It's not complicated. It's just some conversation with the Creator God. That's all it is, really, in essence. But I want to speak about prayer. And there's loads of different types of prayer. There's intercession, isn't there, where you're just standing in the gap and you're interceding on behalf of a situation, going to the Father. There's a supplication. There's, asking, making requests, that type of prayer. There's meditation. There's silent prayer. There's no one particular type of prayer is the right way of praying. We always celebrate the diversity. We were in the cathedral once in Manchester and it was just silent prayer and people were encouraged to kneel on those little kneeling cushions. We don't have them in some of our other traditions. And I was thinking, oh no, what is this about? I'm a charismatic evangelical. I'm not sitting sat quietly and kneeling on a cushion. What do you, well, you know, this is me in my younger days where I just thought there was only one way of doing things. The stillness came and we were quiet and you could hear the Holy Spirit, you could feel the Holy Spirit moving through the liturgical prayers. Well, they're not led by the Spirit, are they, these written prayers, liturgical prayers? And I had to go on this journey of learning different, well, I'm still learning now, I'm a lifelong learner. I'll never get there until I go to be with the Lord, and then I'll probably find out half of what I believe was wrong anyway. But God is good anyway. There's loads of different types of prayer. But the particular type of prayer I want to speak about today is called the prayer of agreements. The prayer of agreement. I can see people nodding. When you nod, you're generally saying, I agree. You know, the word amen means I agree. If somebody's praying a prayer and you agree with it, you say amen. Don't say amen if you don't agree with it. Well, I hear loads of prayers that I don't agree with all the time. I'm going, amen, amen. And I'm thinking, no, that's not very theologically accurate what you're praying. But amen, I agree. It's adding weight to the prayer that's being prayed. You're adding weight to it and you're making a sort of agreement together, almost like a contract, that we're going to see this thing happen. But not individually. When you have the Lord's Prayer, the disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. He gave them the Lord's Prayer. What does it start with? Our Father. Not my Father. He is my Father, but it's our Father. He's encouraging us to understand that we are part of a community. We're here together. We're working together and we're part of the people of God. Together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So the prayer of agreement is, I can't underestimate how powerful it is. I can't express to you how amazing the prayer of agreement is. It's where two or more people come together praying concerning something in agreement. If you want to look at a scripture, which is the key scripture for this morning, it's Matthew 18, verses 19. In the New King James Version, it's Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20. Jesus is the one who told us, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Amen. If two or three of you on earth agree about anything, concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, there's a discernment process going on around what we are praying for, because we have to be praying in the will of God. So, you know, this is taken for granted. This verse is not unpacking it and saying, right, by the way, you don't pray for this, you do pray for that. You have to be biblically aware and literate to know what is the will of God for your life and be listening and discerning and growing and maturing in your faith to understand what is the will of God. But once you've understood the will of God and you agree then in prayer for that thing. So I first learned about the prayer of agreement as a young Christian when I was praying for my unconverted husband to come to know the Lord. And you can obviously realise that I got the answer to that prayer because I'm still married to the same person and he sat at the back. And I won't unpack the whole story to you, but basically I became a Christian as a result of something that happened in our wedding ceremony. We were unchurched, ungodly people. I shouldn't have been wearing a white dress, you know, technically on that day. I'd live in quite a sort of worldly life. And the Holy Spirit turned up in our wedding ceremony, which is why I will actually marry unchurched people. I just because of what my own experience. I'll marry them because it's a sacred service that God can show up, and God did show up. And I wasn't even really searching for him. And he came. So then I became a Christian just a few months later because of this experience. So now I'm married to somebody who isn't a Christian. It took a few more months. And I was battling in prayer. Now, some of you might be with people in your family, or you may have a partner who's not a Christian, or somebody who's fallen away from the Lord, and you're battling in prayer. You know what I'm talking about. But I couldn't do it on my own. So I ended up asking a few people in the church to pray with me on this issue. And a few months later, Frank also, because sometimes it takes more than a few months, let me say. But Frank also gave his life to Jesus. So I was learning about the prayer of agreement. Now, the prayer of agreement, I've just read that scripture. In the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia has the word agree. It's the word symphoneo. Sounds a bit like the word symphony. Symphoneo. To be of the same mind, to come to a mutual understanding, to agree with one in making a bargain, to make an agreement. Symphony, it comes from our word symphony, meaning harmonious blending. How lovely is that? You know, the blending of two or three people's faith to come together to pray is like a symphony. It's making a music for the Lord that he loves. He loves to see it. He is the embodiment of unity in the heart of the Godhead. And so there's this symphony when we're praying together about something. It could be for a person, or it could be for a town or a nation or a huge issue. Now, with prayer, how many of us know sometimes it's a battle? It's a bit of a battleground. We heard that. Biggsy's mum, what's she called again? Tanya. Biggsy's mum was explaining this to us. Our son Josh, by the way, is friends with Biggsy, so he'll tell you about that. He's always talking about Biggsy. So prayer can be a battle. And can you imagine a sort of dark cloud which is hovering over a town or a city? You don't have to imagine it, sometimes you can actually see it, of like oppression and heaviness. And the Bible talks about Satan being the power of the air or something like that. I can't remember the exact scripture. Dominating the atmosphere and causing things to be held back, to be delayed, to be, you know, blocked effectively for the people of God. And our prayers are piercing through that heavy blanket of oppression. And I'm just going to get Linda to come with a piece of paper to want to illustrate this. So we just need a piece of paper. And Linda, come and hold it. Sort of like it's the heavy cloud that's above you. Like that. Tight. Yeah. So that's this is the atmosphere blocking the breakthrough prayer that I'm talking about. Now, I need two people with sharp pens or pens of any description to quickly come on down to the front for part of this illustration. Right, you've got a pen, you've got a pen. Right, a prayer underneath the paper, that's your prayer, pierce through that piece of paper. Right, you pierce through. Right, keep going. Oh, she's an intercessor. Yeah, she's getting really angry. Right, keep going. Ah. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. We got the sharp prayers. Wasn't just one. The one pen just made a little hole. That's great. You got a bit of light shafting through. The two, are you married couple? And bless you in Jesus' name. Just bless your union. Bless the fact that you two stepped up to the front. And I pray in Jesus' name for the breakthrough that you've been seeking. There's something you've been seeking. There's something you've been asking for. And it needs the two to come together. Now, I know you are together, but I'm talking about in a new kind of way. There's a new unity in your bond of working together, of a ministry together. And in that ministry together is where you will see that breakthrough with those. Is sharpening you up. You're going to be like a two-edged sword. A two-edged sword. You on one side, husband on the other side. So sharp, you couldn't do it on your own. But together, you are going to break through something very significant in this community. So there's a new anointing coming on you. And it wasn't a coincidence that you two stepped forward. And we just pray a blessing over your life today. And we pray that God will release abundance over you, that all you need to do what it is. Calling of God on your life in Jesus' name. We agree. In Jesus' name, we agree. So that was just an illustration and how the prayer of agreement works. So we have particular situations in our lives. Might be a financial situation, it might be a health, it might be a career change, moving house. We're moving house at the moment. We need a lot of prayer. And we've done a house renovation as well, which even needs a lot more prayer. But why is it that the prayer of agreement is powerful? I've got three reasons. There's probably a lot more than three. But why is the prayer agreement powerful? The first reason is agreement is modeled in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in perfect harmony, modeling interdependence rather than independence, and God working in harmony with the Son and the Holy Spirit. If he's showing us what the prayer of agreement looks like, where two or three agree in the Godhead, that's the first reason. The second reason is a pastoral reason. And the pastoral reason is that when we pray together with others, we share the load. We make ourselves accountable and we receive love and support for the particular issue it is that we're carrying. And when the prayer is answered, we get to rejoice together. Imagine how my church felt when Frank became a Christian. That's what they were all praying for, the prayer of agreement. They got the answer. It wasn't just me rejoicing, it was them rejoicing. Everyone was rejoicing who took part in that prayer campaign. Poor Frank, he didn't know there was a prayer campaign. But it's amazing. So I get to rejoice with Linda about her operation in Jesus' name because I prayed that prayer with you in Spring Harvest and then I got to hear about what God did. So prayer of agreement is so powerful, and that's the second reason, it's pastoral. Do you know what? The enemy wants us to be secretive. He wants us to just keep it to ourselves. It's also called pride. I'm not telling anybody about my issues, my problems. I'm not looking at Frank at this point because he knows I'm like this. I'm quite a private person. And he always says, why don't you share that issue with someone else? Like, I'm not sharing this issue with anybody else. I'm going to do this on my own. And you can't. So we need this prayer agreement to be with one another in this. So Charles Finney said this, nothing tends to more cement the hearts of Christians than when they pray together. Never do they love one another so well as when they witness the outpouring of each other's hearts in prayer. Isn't that beautiful? And the third reason is that the devil hates the prayer of agreement. He absolutely hates it. He wants you to be isolated. He wants you to lose. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants to keep you in that secret place. Because if you start sharing things, something might change. He absolutely hates it. He wants you to feel defeated. He wants you to feel overwhelmed. And when we come in the prayer of agreement, we break through that heavy cloud that we showed you before in that illustration. In Deuteronomy, it says of God's army, and we heard about armies earlier on, one man could chase 1,000, two could put 10,000 to flight. There's multiplied effect when people work together as you're facing a difficult situation. So I want to share a story with you, which is in the first chapter of our book, Mountain Moving Prayer, about our personal situation where we had the prayer of agreement going on, having learned about the prayer of agreement. And there's a photograph coming up on the screen, and this is a photo of, I mean, you might recognise him, you might recognise me, that's a younger me. And then this is our eldest son, Josh, who was supposed to be coming to speak, but will be coming later in the year, when he was 17 years old, and that's our eldest daughter, Sarah. And this was a prayer of agreement story. So we're pastors in a church in Manchester, as I shared that with you. And everyone in our community knows that we're Christians. We've shared with our neighbours and stuff on the road where we live. The kids are called pastors' kids, aren't they, technically? You're brought up in the church. They're pastors' kids. You need to really pray for pastors' kids. It's a very hard job for them. And Josh was doing okay, but then when he became 17 years of old age, he started to go off the rails. Now, maybe speaking to people today who have had similar experiences or are going through similar experiences. And he started to mix with a crowd that were kind of all leading each other astray, drinking a lot, getting involved with drugs. He dropped out of school. Jeff just scrapped school altogether halfway through his studies. Went to work in a call centre. And we're thinking, well, this isn't right, God's will for his life, any of this. And he became surly and moody. He didn't want to talk to us. He didn't want to come to church. And it was just bad. And we were praying, Frank and I praying, really concerned for him. And one day, the police came to knock on our front door. Now, you all know that I've just shared with you, I'm the director, founding director of a charity called Redeeming Our Communities, and we're about reducing crime. And here I am with two police officers knocking at my door, and they were coming to arrest our son. They weren't coming to see me about Rock. They weren't coming to talk to me about Redeeming Our Communities. And they arrest him, and they took him off. This is a Friday. And took him off and arrested him, and all the neighbours are looking through the window thinking, what's happening to Frank and Deborah's household? And I just felt absolutely crushed. I was on the floor. I was weeping. I was really feeling sorry for myself. I failed as a parent. That's what the devil was saying to me, okay? Failed as a parent. Who do you think you are running Redeeming Communities, reducing crime, and now your own son has been arrested? That's not very good. And I started to really feel crushed and heavy. And my daughter came, Sarah came and knocked on the door. And she walked in and she said, Mum, why are you crying? And I told her and she said, Mum, why aren't you praying? I was like, you cheeky madam. Telling your mother, who's written two books on prayer, about I should be praying. Of course, she was right, because we taught her that. The problem is, the things we get taught, we don't put them into practice. We believe in prayer, but we don't then do it. And she made me pray. She sort of got me off, you know, scruff of the neck, and she marched me into the conservatory in our house in Sale, and we started to pray. And we started to worship, because she's a worship leader, and we were singing these songs. And as we were singing, something started to change. Heaviness started to drop. Worship's a weapon. Worship is a weapon. You don't feel like worshiping when you come to church some weeks, because you feel like, I've had a rubbish week. I'm not worshiping God. He doesn't deserve my worship. Why is all this going wrong? And we started to worship and we started to sing. And Sarah said to me, Mum, what other prophetic words have you had for Josh? What have you got in your journal? What were the scriptures that were brought at his dedication? Joshua chapter 1. Only be strong and very courageous. Josh, you're going to actually lead people into places they've never been before. You're going to be an evangelist. We knew our son was going to be an evangelist, but there was no sign of it at this point. And we started praying. We were using worship as a weapon. Then skip forward to the Monday. Frank went to pick Josh up. We found out by then that he was at Longsight Police Station and he'd been locked up for the weekend in a police cell. Went to pick him up, took him to court, and he was it was given a conditional discharge because it was his first offence or something like that. So he was let out, but he had to have one of those electronic tags around his ankle where you can't go out. It like starts buzzing and all the rest of it. And I was saying to him, "You're grounded." And he's like, "Yeah, I am actually grounded because I can't get out anywhere." So he comes home on the Monday and walks through the front door, and his whole demeanour has changed. He's not angry. He's lost that hard edge that he had the last time I'd seen him. And he walked through the door and he was humbled and he was weeping. And he knelt down on in the whole carpet and he said, "Mum, please will you forgive me?" I said, "Of course we'll forgive you, Josh, you're our son." "No, no, you don't understand. I've really messed my life up. Please forgive me." I said, "Yeah, we do forgive you, Josh, but tell me why has this changed? Why have you gone away and come back like this? What's happened to you?" He said, "Well, I was really scared. I was really afraid. I knew I'd gone too far. And in that police cell, I was really alone. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was happening in my life. So I knew I'd gone away from God. So I got on my knees and I said, 'Lord, if you give me a second chance, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my days. And I'm going to tell other people about you, other young people.'" And as he said that prayer, it was like the stories that you read about in the Acts of the Apostles. The place is flooded with light. He feels this presence. The Father's with him. He knows he's been forgiven. He knows he's been given a second chance. He knows that God is present with him in this situation. And then he says to me, "And Mum, thank you so much for coming to sing outside the police cell." And I went, "No. We didn't come and sing." "No, Mum, I know your voice. I know your voice. And there was another voice which I also recognised." I'm saying, "No, Josh, you got this wrong. This bit's wrong." He said, "No, Mum, I know. You were there. Thank you. I thought I was on my own." And I realised what had happened. So from 5 miles away in our house in Sale Moor, to Longsight Police Station, as Sarah and I were worshipping, Josh heard it. It was obviously the Holy Spirit. It was the Father's song, but using our people he could recognize, voices he recognized to him know that he'd had the answer to his prayer. I'm like, wow. It still affects me today because you can't be with your kids 24/7 or your friend that's got themselves in a mess, your sister, your brother, your husband. You can't be with them, but Holy Spirit is with them. When you're praying the prayer of agreement, Holy Spirit is active over here, dealing with that situation. It was such a revelation. And then basically what happened was, he started coming into work with me because he could only go out of the house for a few hours a day. And you're not lying in bed. Because how many of you know when somebody given the life to Jesus, they don't change overnight. They're still lazy or they're still whatever. So he comes into work with me and he's moving boxes around our office. And Tim Owen comes walking along. Tim Owen works for Andy Hawthorne. And because I told you I shared offices with them. And Tim said, "Are you Frank and Deborah's son?" I said, "Yeah, I am. I really want to give you the opportunity to come on our genetic course." And Andy Hawthorne said, "I know your son's got, this incident that he's gone through with the police, but we're going to give him a chance." Because we told Andy the truth. And he they took him on this course. Within a few months, he'd set up a band called Social Beings. And Social Beings started travelling all over the world, preaching the gospel to young people. One week, they were going in a local school, and the preacher didn't turn up. And Andy said, Josh, will you preach? Josh preached, and 30 young people gave their life to Jesus. Andy said to Frank, I think your son's an evangelist. And it's amazing. And now, fast forward to him being in Norway this weekend preaching the gospel. He's the National Youth Director of 24/7 Prayer, which is quite interesting because as we were bringing him up, he saw me doing all this prayer network stuff of gathering all the churches together in Manchester Praise. A seed was planted. He's married to a Christian girl called Emma, who's a school teacher, and they've got three children, Liberty Joy, Simeon, and Hallelujah Rose. I'm telling you, you don't call your children those names if you're not a Christian. What's your name? Hallelujah. And she's not, no, I'm not being rude, she's not black. Because all my lovely African friends have these gorgeous names, but like, so it's amazing. So isn't God good? So it's a prayer of agreement, is whether it's in your personal situation, finance, business, church, community, getting around and really discerning what God wants to do in this place. So can we get the band back up, and can we just have a little bit of time, Andy? Is it okay to pray? I'm aware that there could be some people here who it's touched your heart because of a personal situation with a loved one who's away, a prodigal. I'll just pray, any one of those people, just put your hand up and I'll just pray a prayer of agreement with you. So, Lord, we present to you every person who's represented in hand raised, a son, a daughter, a loved one, a parent, a partner, a friend, sister, a brother, and we call them back to you, Father, by the prayer of agreement. We combine our prayers together. We say, we agree, I agree. And then situations, Father, that you can move, mountains that are in the way, and we speak to the mountain and we say, be cast into the sea. Whatever it is that's affecting them, however the enemy has tried to distort your plan for their lives, we say, Holy Spirit, let us in this time, next year, we're having testimonies of the people who are presenting to you now have come back to you in the name of Jesus. And then any hands raised around, I've mentioned buildings and finance and provision and things that God wants to do across the town. Anybody in faith for that who needs a prayer for that? You want to see God move at that civic breakfast on Wednesday. We want to see God move and give you buildings and provisions, Hope Community Church. We want to see God move and help us to enact the ministries that he's put on our hearts, the visions, the plans. We pray the prayer of agreement now in Jesus' name. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I just want to prophesy over you, Hope Community Church, from Isaiah 54. He said, enlarge the place of your territory. He's saying, spread out to the right and to the left. He's saying, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Because God is going to grow you. Is going to grow you, not for the sake of the church, but for the sake of his kingdom and the growth within. How many people live in Basingstoke who don't know Jesus? Thousands and thousands. That's why he wants to bless you and bring in his provisions. So we pray the prayer of agreement today. In Jesus' name, we agree that you have good plans because you're a good, good Father. And you don't want to withhold anything from your children. We just bless you in Jesus' name. And we have a ministry team here. If anybody's been touched, affected, please move around now and ask for prayer. And I'm happy to pray for people as well. So be blessed in Jesus' name.